Welcome to Behind the 90 with Mika. Before I introduce my guest, my very special guest, I'd like to talk about what the 90 means. I think it's very important that our listeners understand the meaning behind the name. 90% of what we go through in life is about our past, and only 10% is about the here and now. So often we focus on the 10% and it really doesn't get us anywhere. So it makes it very important to focus on the 90% because the 90% represents a person's story. And it's so important that we understand a person's story before we judge. And I think it just builds community when we know one another's stories. So again, I would like to introduce my very special guest. Her name is Kelly Slavik. Kelly is an amazing woman all around. Everybody needs a Kelly in their lives. And I am just so honored and happy to have her here. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
How do you feel about being here today?
I am super excited with a pinch of nervous.
Okay, so let's get the nerves out. Guys, if you guys can see us, we're shaking. Kelly is shaking. She is shimmying it.
Okay.
Is it out?
That's it.
There you go. It's out. So today's topic, me and Kelly, we were talking. She has such an amazing story. And like I say, as everyone knows, who knows me, I love telling stories. I feel like that stories is what connects us. And I think it's important for us to not just know the surface of someone, especially if they're in your life. If there is a significant person in your life, you should know some details. Because you need to know how to move with that person. You need to know how to show up with that person if you're in that person's life. So that's why it becomes important to understanding a person's story. So today's topic is, why do I keep ending up with cheaters? I'm going to say that again. Why do I keep ending up with cheaters? That's what we're talking about today. And it's a topic that I think most of us can relate to. We've all been cheated on in our lives. Doesn't feel good. But Kelly felt like it was time to understand, why does she keep ending up with cheaters? So we know it has nothing to do with her because she's an amazing woman. But it has all to do with some underlying things, right? So we have to always go behind the 90. To understand the why to certain things. So Kelly, tell me, why did you want to talk about, and what you'll learn is that we're going to kind of go back and forth. We'll go the beginning of your life, middle of your life, the end, middle, beginning. We'll kind of go back and forth. But why did you want to talk about this? Why this topic?
So I got married very young, and you know, we have three daughters. And, you know, there was a lot wrong because we were so young, but mainly it ended, you know, because he got addicted to drugs.
Okay.
And in that, you know, along with that drug habit became, you know, involved some infidelity. Mm-hmm. So I blamed that one on the drugs.
Okay. So let me ask you, how old were you when you got in that marriage?
We were like 19.
Oh, that is young.
Yeah. And we were together about 15 years, mm-hmm. but the last five, I should have left about 5 years earlier when the drugs started, but I came from a broken home and I didn't want my kids, you know, to come from a broken home. And I was determined to try to help save him, which I know now, you know, that's mm-hmm. not possible. So, but some infidelity was involved there. And, you know, I blamed it on the drugs. That's, you know, what I thought.
Yeah. So when you think about getting married at 19 years old, that's very young. You haven't developed mentally, physically. There's nothing. So why so young? Why get married so young?
I think that the, you know, the whole broken home, absent father, that's all I wanted. Mm. I just wanted what I felt like was, you know, air quote, a normal family. Okay. I just wanted to get married and have children. I'm sure I you know, looking back now, I wanted a man to love me, right? And he desperately loved me.
Okay.
I would, to this day, I would still say that man desperately loves me.
Wow.
He's just, you know, he had an addiction.
Right.
And I felt like I had to choose between being a good mother or a good wife.
Yeah. Yes. Because you love both, right? Mm-hmm. But you got to be safe.
But you have to. I knew my job was, you know, besides, you know, the wife part was protecting my kids.
Right.
Right. I wanted to protect them.
Okay.
And I do. And I think that's why I regret not leaving sooner, because there was a lot of things that they, you know, had to see that maybe I thought, oh, well, they're too young and they're not understanding. But they did.
Right. Well, you know, I want you to go back, Kelly, a little bit. You said he loved you, mm-hmm. right? So it's not like you were getting into a relationship with someone that was treating you poorly.
No.
And you married them.
Right.
The initial startup was good.
Yeah.
So talk about that. So you wouldn't, you would not have had any way of knowing that this person would have treated you, cheated on you.
No.
So what was life like before? In your first marriage, like you say, you were young.
Mm-hmm.
He adored you. Mm-hmm. He loved you. So it was probably you were blindsided. You did not expect that. Speak more into the beginnings of that relationship.
I just remember him telling me, you know, expressing like how much he loved me. He thought I was the most beautiful girl he'd ever seen, which, you know, there's always somebody, but to him, uh-huh. right? And it just, that feeling, now that I've, you know, educated myself a little bit, you know, they reference that as the love bombing stage, right?
Okay.
But they do, you just, someone loves you so deeply and so much that it feels so good. You don't see some other, you know, little red flags.
Right.
In that time, I give myself a lot of grace because I was so young. If I was older now, I would have noticed the signs of addiction and that it was in his family and, you know, some other behaviors. But you don't know anything when you're 19.
You don't. You don't know what questions to ask.
No.
You're just going.
You don't know what to look for. You don't know what you want. You just think, oh, this feels good.
Right. He's loving me. And like you said, you came from a unstable home environment, you
yes.
said. So, you know, going from your parents' house to his house, it's just the two of you,
mm-hmm.
it felt good.
It felt good.
So things were consistent. He was consistent with loving you. He was consistent with what? Providing at 19? Like, what was
well,
he doing at 19?
Well, at first, no, because my mom would even say, like, she'd said to me, what are you doing? Like, he didn't have a car yet. He didn't have, a job at the moment, you know. And I thought, well, he came from the same environment. A broken home, an absent father,
okay.
a mom who was an alcoholic. So I thought he just needs someone to love him and support him and he's going to be fine, right? And he provided all these other things for me, you know, even at that age, I was independent. So I didn't feel like I needed someone to take care of me in that way, financially or, you know,
okay.
I just wanted someone to just love me and make me feel like I was the most important thing in their life. Okay. That's what I feel like he gave me. Okay. And he still to this day, we have recently, you know, had a, you know, few conversations talking about, you know, the past and things like that. And he said, you know, he still to this day will say, I love you. Like you'll forever, it'll, you know.
The one that got away.
Yeah.
That got away.
Yeah. Yeah. And he says that he was in therapy. And they said, well, what are you looking for? He said, the problem is I'm looking for my ex-wife.
Wow.
He said, I'm looking for like someone to be like her.
Wow.
You know, and so it's not something that we would, you know, ever reconcile. But it's been really good and healthy. And I had a lot of resentment because, you know, after that, I was a single mom of three kids and he moved to another state and I had to take care of them by myself. So I had a lot of resentment for him,
yeah.
you know, and our kids are all in their 20s now. And so I raised them. I raised them by myself. But by the grace of God, I was able to forgive him,
mm-hmm.
and we're able to talk and just we really have good, healthy conversations about the past. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've apologized to each other and it feels good. It feels good to forgive people and to heal.
Yeah. But at that time, though, Kelly, being young, knowing that you have made a decision, you made the decision to marry, and I'm sure at that time you felt like it was a good decision because things were going good. What were the first signs of things? Because did the addiction come with him first or the cheating, or it was addiction?
Addiction. It was okay. Addiction. He had surgery.
Okay.
He got hooked on pain pills. And then at some point, he just couldn't get enough pain pills. I didn't know how bad it was until one day I went down in the basement and he was shooting up heroin.
Okay.
And that is kind of when I was like, this is not getting better. It's getting worse.
How long into the marriage was it when that started?
At least 10 years.
So you had a good 10 years of you guys being good?
Yeah, I'd say that things started to, we had like little ups and downs, but that I feel like were, you know, maybe some financial issues here or, but I just don't, I think it was, you know, normal marriage issues. Absolutely. Right? Yeah. Okay. So no, of course they weren't perfect and that, or anything like that. We had some, but they weren't deal breakers.
Okay.
You know what I mean? They were, and I think the older we got and the more mature we got, you know, the better that we were together. Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. And, but it was, I remember when he started taking the pills and I knew by then I was starting to understand addiction because I'd been around his family for 10 years mm-hmm. and everyone was either addicted to alcohol or pain pills.
Okay.
So when he started with the pain pills, I did get nervous. And I remember saying, you know, be careful. You know, this is a trait in your family and, you know, whatever. Trap. And yeah, did you know, that warning didn't help.
Right. Because that
hurt. Again, it felt good for him. You know, he finally explained to me that painkillers kill emotional pain.
Yeah.
And he had never healed from his childhood mm-hmm. trauma either. So we didn't understand what was happening. So, you know, he was killing it with painkillers, mm-hmm. you know, and I was trying to fill mine with, you know, having this happy family.
Right. So for 10 years, you guys were, and that's a long run when you think, I mean, yes, you want till death do you part, mm-hmm. but that's a long run at 19. You get married at 19 and, you know, you're married at least until what, 30 years old, 29, 30.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, nothing was perfect, but 10 years in, you learned that he was addicted. Did you give him opportunities? It sounds like have given him opportunities to get it right.
He went to rehab. The last time I was with him, he had his hospital, you know, bracelet on. And he started crying. We were in the waiting room. And I said, what's wrong? And he said, when you come here, you get a patient number. When you come back, your patient number is the same. It just changes by. So it would be patient number -1, patient number -2. On your, he was at patient number -12.
He had checked himself in 12 times?
12.
Wow. That's okay.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
So it wasn't like he got on drugs and I was like, you know, that's why I said I stayed around. It was like someone, let's say 5-6 years. So that's like every 6 months he was going to rehab.
So he wanted to get it right, but just couldn't.
In the beginning, I don't. Some of it was to keep, because I would say, I left several times in that. Mm-hmm. Several.
But what would make you come back?
He would go to rehab.
Oh, okay. Go to rehab.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I don't know in the beginning his sincerity for getting well. Mm-hmm. You know, it was kind of maybe a tool just to, because I would say, I can't do this anymore. Okay. And I can't speak for him, you know, obviously I don't, but I know that he would go to rehab. Mm-hmm. And maybe he'd get a, you know, clean 30 days and I would take him back.
Okay. So when did the cheating start?
It started at the end. We had been separated for a while. We got back together and he had met someone in rehab.
Okay.
He was actually living a double life.
Okay.
He would get up in the morning and go to, air quote, work. And he would come home. And he had money. you know, and so at the time he said he was working for a doctor and that he was basically like his assistant. He was a well-known surgeon. He lived in Grosse Pointe. He had a very large home, an ill wife. And so he basically was taking care of the man's property and other properties that he had, whatever that needed to be done, you know, maintenance wise, I guess I should think, scenes like that. And he was bringing home money. So he was never a cheater before. You know, that wasn't our issue. You know, our issue was the drugs and that was it. But this is a long five, 6 year, this has been going on. And I finally, it was actually my pastor of my church said, can I see you after church? And I said, yeah. And I went in his office and him, his wife, and he were in there. And he told me that he was living with another woman.
Oh, so that's how you learned that he was having an affair.
And I said, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't understand. I'm like, he's home every night. Like, how could he be living somewhere else? But what was happening is he was in rehab. He met a girl. We were split up because he would say, I don't know if I have somewhere to, I don't know if I can go home when I leave here. Cause you know, he didn't know if I was going to take him back, you know, who knows, for the 10th time or whatever number we were on. And so he met a girl there
at rehab
and she had a lot of money. Okay. She had a trust fund. She was very wealthy and basically agreed to take care of him. And so when he was at home at night, he told her he was at work midnights, right?
Okay.
And when he was gone during the day, he told me he was at work.
Okay. So do you know how did the pastor and the first lady, how did they come?
Someone had went to them that knew that it was a friend of my ex-husband's. It was mutual friends. It's a, you know, long story how that worked out. But someone went to the pastor because they didn't feel comfortable coming to me. But they knew that he was doing this to me and they wanted me to know. So they went to the pastor and said, this is going on and I don't know what to do. And so, you know, I'm sure the pastor looked into it. And then when he could confirm that that was, you know, really happened, his wife brought me in and like had to tell me.
I'm going to be honest. Although very hurtful, but what a responsible thing for somebody to go to the pastor and the pastor and the first lady say, hey, listen, you need to sit your wife down and you need to tell her what's going on.
You feel like they should have told him to tell me?
No, I said that. I said that's good.
Yeah.
I feel like because they had him in there too, right?
No, he was in rehab.
Oh, so he wasn't. Oh, so he wasn't a part of the conversation.
No, he didn't. He wasn't coming to church either. And he was in rehab again. And they just knew that. I mean, I was going through it. I mean.
See, Kelly, I thought you were saying that they had him in. So all this, all the while he was in rehab. So the pastor and the first lady just thought you should know.
They felt like, you know. Yeah. And a couple people, I think, knew too at church from. I think he confided in one, like another man at church. And I know that man didn't feel comfortable telling me, but really everyone felt sorry for me. Like, because at this point now, you know, we're financially struggling and it's bad and I'm, you know, going through hell. And so this one of two people, I'm not really sure for sure. I just know two people that I knew and one of somebody went to him and said
to the pastor the first
time said we know this is going on, what do we do?
And so how did the pastor bring it to you? That's
that's 20 years ago, but
if you can try to think about it, I'm really
he just
curious.
Really sat me down and God bless his wife because he was pretty direct. He just said, Kelly, I'm sorry, you know, but I just want to tell you, I don't want to say his name, living with another woman. And his wife, bless her heart, she kept saying, allegedly. She kept saying allegedly because she was trying to make it more gentle, you know, and like, and it was a lot, but he just, I think he really just told me, I don't know any other way to say this.
Okay.
but he's living with another woman. And I thought, Pastor, you lost your mind. Like, he's home every night. There's no way. He's in rehab right now. Like, what do you mean? And so finally, and I can't remember exactly, I had an idea of who I thought it was, because this woman had called the home even sometimes. Because when people meet in rehab, they exchange number. Not generally men and women, but, you know, they'll sign the back of your little book or whatever, because you want to support each other. You know, and this, again, this is so long ago. There wasn't like a lot of social media and groups and things like that. You just went to rehab and you went to either AA or NA or whatever support group was out there. So, and again, infidelity wasn't his thing. So I never was jealous or concerned when she would call and say hi, because there was a whole group that they had.
Oh, so this person was calling your house?
Yes.
The lady. Okay.
And so I know this is an unbelievable story, but finally one day she called in the middle of the night. That's what it was. And she said, "You speak English?" as a question. And I said, "Do I speak English?" You know, like, he was so manipulative. He got so manipulative that he had told her, because she knew he was married. He was in an arranged marriage. And then I didn't even speak English, and that it wasn't a marriage of love. And that's why he, but he told her, "That's why I can't divorce her. I can't get divorced." So he was lying about everything. But she would want him to leave me, and he didn't really want to. So he had to come up with a lie.
So let's go back a little bit. I do want to know. So when Pastor told you that, you were kind of in disbelief. You didn't believe that that was happening.
I couldn't figure out how does that. When he says he lives there, I thought he lives out.
Right. So you left that meeting not believing it. Did you believe it? You didn't believe it.
I didn't believe it.
So what did you do to confirm? Or did you just leave it alone? Or did you?
No, he, you know, would call in the evening, whatever, you know, from rehab, say goodnight to the kids or whatever. And I asked him. And I told him what happened in the meeting. And he's, you know, of course, he denied it. But this mutual friend had told her as well. Okay. So the mutual friend that went to the pastor for me.
Yeah.
He went to her. He knew her. So he told her, and instead of telling me, he told my pastor. So he had outed him on both sides. And I didn't know her number, but obviously she knew ours. Okay. So she had called me.
See, I'm confused about that. Can you say that one more time?
So
the lady that went to the pastor to tell the pastor that.
It was a man.
Okay, the man who went to the pastor to tell the man, tell the pastor that your ex was cheating.
That gentleman was also friends with the woman he was cheating with.
Got it. Okay.
So he had told her that everything was a lie.
Got it.
He went to my pastor and told him. So we both found out kind of at the same time. And then when she called me to talk to me to find out if everything he said was a lie, she was in disbelief that I could speak English. So she was like, "You can speak English?" And I was like, "What?"
Oh my gosh.
I started a book. I really started a book about just a lot that we're going to talk about today because it's.
So tell us more about that conversation. How did that conversation begin and end? She said, "Do you speak English?"
She asked me if I speak English, and then she told me all the lies he told her, and I said, "None of that's true."
Which was none of that's true. And it was an arranged marriage, and he couldn't get out of it. That okay?
Yeah, that there was so much more, of course, but yeah, none of that was true. And obviously, you know, once we spoke, she knew everything was a lie.
Yeah, because clearly you can speak English.
So it ended in I didn't want him. You know, he was in rehab again.
Okay.
So I didn't want him to come back to my home when he left. So he ended up going to her home.
So she kept him.
She let him stay.
She let him. Okay. She didn't mind that he was lying to her and whatever. Okay.
I think she just wanted to win.
She wanted to win.
And in my confession, at some point, I felt like that too. I wanted to win.
Right.
And I knew that he really loved me and he was using her. So at some point I told him I would take him back and he came back home.
So he left her, came back to you.
And then after a little while I thought, why did I do that?
Okay.
I'm not happy. Mm-hmm. Why would I do that? You know, and I thought it's embarrassing now, but it was to prove a point. A very immature, she was a very spoiled only child. She had a trust fund, and I think she thought she could just have whatever she wanted. Mm-hmm. And something in me wanted to teach her a lesson.
Yeah. So it wasn't really about being with him and running off into the sunset.
No.
Yeah. But you wanted to win.
Yeah. I thought, you know what? I'm going to teach you a lesson.
Right. So he came back.
You can't have everything you want.
Okay, I get it. You can't.
Money can't buy everything.
Right.
It can't buy my husband.
Okay.
And again.
But you know, it breaks my heart that women would get in a relationship with a man that's married. That would be okay for you.
Under any circumstances.
Under any circumstances. It's just like, why would you want to be with someone who's already committed to someone else, right? I never understand that, because what they say, the way you get them is the way you're gonna lose them. And it's just like, to me, I would have no respect for a person that would do that to their wife. And you got kids too, that you would do that. I couldn't trust a person who was known for cheating on their spouse, entering into something when you haven't ended the current relationship that you're in. Is just, to me, it's such a cop out. It's, why not tell you, you know, I'm no longer whatever in love with you.
Yeah.
I'm going in a different direction. Right. I know that's hard to say, but why cheat?
Well, because and I 100% agree with you. But if you asked me that question and I was answering it, it's because some broken people, like we're all broken in some way.
Absolutely.
Different ways, whatever. They can't be alone. His situation, he couldn't be alone and he couldn't take care of himself, really, right? And so he had to, and it was a long string of him being with women who had a lot of money after that. It just now stopped.
Wow. And the women, and these women were okay to have him, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Okay. So you found out, you know, you find out he's cheating. You did take him back. How long did that last?
Not long.
He get you back though? Did he say, I'm going to be better? Like, how did he get?
Yeah, of course. Okay. You know, it's the suicidal threats. The, you know, I'm never going to love anybody else. You know, he made a suicidal attempt at some point in it. And I guess a lot of manipulation, not that he even thought of that way, but just like, I also remember thinking to myself every time he would go to rehab, what if he gets clean this time and he's everything I wanted him to be and somebody else gets him?
Wow.
There we go again.
Wow.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, I didn't do all this work.
Invest
all this time for him to finally, you know, be, to get it right. And then somebody else gets that. After all my hard work.
Oh, I can so see that, Kelly.
Yeah.
I can. You're not alone in thinking that way. Because like I said, you invest so much time in a person. And then they get themselves together. And they're, you know, holding hands and kicking cans with somebody else. And living their life. It's just like, no.
If anyone is listening and they're thinking that right now, I promise you, don't do it.
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah.
You lose so much, right? I lost a whole nother 5 years. You know, if I would have left it, you know, and probably even one of the first couple times, mm-hmm. right? I lost 5 years and I allowed my kids to go through 5 more years of trauma.
So in the fight, in that five, the last 5 years, it was, so you accepted him back and he was still going back.
No, but I'm saying like in that, in this like 5 year drug addiction period.
Yeah.
I kept thinking, that's when I was thinking, right? Like, what if he finally gets it right? Because he would go to rehab. So what if he finally gets it right? And then, you know, and I kept hanging in every time and thinking, I was didn't want to give up because we had these 10 years invested in things. And, you know, at the end, when the infidelity started is when the infidelity started. And then I noticed one other thing that I feel like was key. I had gotten so overweight in our marriage because of all the stress and the depression and everything that was going on. And he had a time period. So after her, it probably lasted one more year.
You say after?
After the infidelity.
Okay.
It probably lasted one more year because I remember it was the longest period he had ever stayed clean. I think that was like a wake up for him, right? Mm-hmm. So he'd gotten clean. He actually stayed clean. You know, it was like, I don't know, let's say 6 months. Mm-hmm. But in the 6 months, we're both working on getting healthy. I'm dropping weight like crazy. I mean, I just thought, well, this is, you know, I gained weight and this is who I am. And I didn't realize it was from the stress and the depression and, you know, all the trauma that was going on. And so when he was clean for 6 months, I lost like 40 pounds, 40 out of the 60 I gained. And so again, I'm like, okay, it's just lifestyle, you know, we're walking together as a family and, you know, we were doing the gym and stuff like that. And so I'm still giving credit to that. Mm-hmm. He fell off the wagon and got back on drugs. And I didn't tell him, but I told myself, I said, you know what, God, I felt really guilty about leaving him too. I thought, even if I divorced him, he's my kid's father. Like, I can't change that part. And I so desperately wanted them to have a good father because I didn't.
You didn't have it, so you were gone.
So I wanted him to have it so bad that I felt guilty leaving their father, right?
Because you wanted to stay for them,
I
not
wanted
for you.
Them, no. I was checked out, a long time ago. But I checked out on my husband, but I didn't check out on their father, right?
Oh, that's good, Kelly.
Yeah. I just couldn't. I couldn't. Yeah. There was just, you know, makes sense to me now, but, you know, I just couldn't do it. I had to help their father.
So in your mind, you didn't want to duplicate your childhood.
Exactly.
You wanted to end that cycle and say, I'm going to do something different.
That's exactly what I said.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. So at that point, you know, I prayed and I said, God, you know my heart. I know you don't like divorce. I don't want to either. But we both know I gave up on the marriage a long time ago. But I feel like I have to give up on their father now because it's starting to affect them. And I then realized, you know, so I prayed and I said, I'm going to pray for a way. I'm going to save up some money. You know, I'm going to get myself together. And if he's not clean, by the time I, you know, have my stuff organized, then I'm going to know it's time to go, which I had gone many times before. But I, in my mind, when I said gone this time, I knew there was no coming back. Right. Okay. So I gave it some time. I didn't say anything to him. Mm-hmm. And then I asked him to go to rehab. Okay. You know, I didn't do that again because that was it. I was like, you know, either you go to rehab or, you know, I'm leaving. Right.
You weren't doing that.
No, I didn't do it. I didn't even say it. Okay. I didn't try to argue it. I just let it go. Mm-hmm. He's going to be who he wants to be.
Right.
Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He's going to be who he wants to be. And you're going to have to figure out who you want to be.
Right. And if you want to deal with. Yeah.
And you're going to have to, you know, and so I decided that, no, I didn't want to do it anymore. And I started saving money and a friend of mine came over and she was all excited. She said, I bought a daycare. So excited. You know, she's going on and on. She wanted me to go look at it. So I went to look at it and we went upstairs and there was an apartment upstairs. Mm-hmm. And I said, what are you going to do with the apartment? She said, well, I'm going to rent it. Mm-hmm. And I said, I want it. And we had a house, right? She said, why do you want this apartment? I said, I got to get out of there. I got to leave.
How old were you at this time, Kelly? Because you said you had three kids at the time.
I was about 35, I think.
Wow, okay.
So it'd been a long, long road.
Because you married him at 19.
We got, yeah. We had a kid at 21, 23, and 25.
Okay. So at 35. Wow, that's a long.
It was about 35, yeah. So I said, I want it. And she said, okay, which made it very easy. She knew all about, the issues that we were having. And so she basically just let me move in. I didn't have to save the money, I didn't have to save the money, whatever. But I remember telling myself, you said whenever you got yourself together, and I was able to just leave flawlessly. God really made it happen. So I knew that in my heart, I didn't have to feel guilty anymore about leaving him. I had done all I could possibly do to the point that I realized I was destroying myself, because the moment when he fell off the wagon, I started gaining weight back. And I realized it's not about all these other things. It's about the trauma and the depression and the anxiety and all of these things that you're experiencing that are causing you these physical changes along with everything else. And it kind of just clicked for me finally that it was affecting everything. Yeah. His issue was affecting everything.
Like when you say everything, explain that.
Our kids, my ability to parent.
Okay.
If you talk to my adult kids now, they would tell you I was like a robot. Because I was always trying to be strong and take care of everything, I didn't have time to enjoy being their mother.
Okay. Because you were trying to care for their father.
I was trying to save their dad.
Save their dad.
For them, right? Which I thought made sense at the time because, I loved them so much and I wanted so much for them. I was trying to save their dad so desperately that I wasn't saving their mother.
Wow, Kelly, that's huge.
I didn't save their mother.
You didn't save their mother. So you moved into the apartment. Mm-hmm. Did you do it quietly? Did you let him know?
I let him know peacefully. I just said, I want to move. He actually was, unlike his self, normally he would stalk me, mm-hmm. Before.
If you would leave, he would follow you and track you down.
Yeah,
okay.
He knocked my door in a couple times and he made it. He didn't make it easy. He made it out. And that I don't like to say it, you and I have discussed, it's hard for me to talk about the past because mm-hmm. I don't want to make anybody look bad mm-hmm. and I don't want to sound like I am speaking bad of them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that you really taught me is that I'm just telling my story.
You're telling your story.
So when you say everyone needs a Kelly in their life, I feel like everyone needs a Nika because it's really the tools that you gave me mm-hmm. that brought me where I am today.
Wow, Kelly.
To say, we discussed, why haven't we talked about your childhood? And I said, my mom's sweet. She's so wonderful. I couldn't ask for a better mom. I still want to talk about stuff from the past because I don't want anybody to think bad of her.
Mm, yeah.
I love my mom. I was protecting my mom. Mm-hmm. I realized that about myself. I was protecting their father, but not their mother. I was protecting my mother. But not my inner child.
Yes. And I think part of that is just that feeling of you don't want to be abandoned. You don't want people to leave you, although they may in some ways be hurting you, whether it's intentional or unintentional. It's just like that feeling of being left. It's just that initial shock of it, that it shocks your heart and your mind. You know it has to happen. You know that some boundaries have to be established. But it's that initial pain that you feel when you actually have to really draw a line in the sand and stand up for yourself and say, these are my boundaries, no matter who it is. And it's hard to do.
Because I think that the fact that my father had abandoned me at such a young age, like I don't even remember him. I believe my mom said I was 2. So I, again, didn't realize it, but mm-hmm. I didn't. I didn't want even my drug addict husband to abandon me. Yeah. You know,
because when you let that pain land, it's hard. It's a beast because other things open up for you to deal with. Mm-hmm. So it's very hard. And once you do, it's like ripping the Band-Aid off. It's like, oh my
God. So then you're in pain because you're, you know, going through the divorce, but you don't realize that it's also you're in the pain of your father leaving, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So you overlook things. So, you know, your husband at the time had his own set of issues. You know, I don't think he was a monster or this evil person.
No, not at all.
It's just he had his own set of issues. And a lot of times people, you know, self-medicate, whether it's drugs, whether it's relationships, whether it's sex, gambling, shopping or whatever, just to kind of numb the pain. And once that numbness wears off, they're looking for another fix.
Another thing is that he told me that when I thought things were really good, mm-hmm. you know, because calm and peaceful was mm-hmm. what I was looking for. He said he was so uncomfortable because he was so used to chaos mm-hmm. from his mom being an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. He was so uncomfortable that he would create chaos.
Wow, because he dwelled there. This was his normal dwelling.
Mm-hmm.
He thrived in that in some way.
Yeah.
Wow. So you left, you and the kids. How did they handle you leaving? Had you told them, because they were young, had you told them what was happening or did they just see it?
We had several conversations, you know, about it. And my middle daughter was a daddy's girl. Okay. And honestly, she was a lot of the reason I hung on because she just did not want us to leave her dad.
Oh, wow.
She did not. And the oldest was ready to go. You know, long before.
Right. She probably seen more mm-hmm. than.
And she was just ready to go. My middle one, she didn't want us to abandon her dad. She felt sorry for him.
Yeah.
And my youngest one, she just would, we would say, you know, go in her own little world then. She never went one way or another. She didn't mm-hmm. have an opinion. She mm-hmm. just, she got quiet.
Okay.
Good yeah.
Morning. Okay. So you laugh. He allowed you to leave and didn't put up too much of a fight. How did you tell him you were leaving?
I just told him, you know, that I loved him. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. And that I just, you know, really wanted out. And I don't know why that time he kind of, well, if I'm being honest, he probably accepted it because every other time I changed my mind and went back. And I think he did tell me later, I really never thought that you would stick to it.
Actually leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He thought, okay, she'll leave, but I'll win her back.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Yeah. Because in the initial of me leaving, he helped me move. He was, you know, it was good, you know, it was peaceful and he was helpful. And then a little while after, you know, when he realized, okay, this is not the norm, mm-hmm. she's not coming back, that's when he went crazy again.
Yeah.
He came in, he smashed up the inside of my house. Like, yeah.
Wow. So you left. You didn't let that influence your decision because you knew it was time.
It was time.
And a lot of times women, when it's time, when you set in your mind that it's time, and especially when you take yourself out of the situation for a period of time, and it's almost like from the outside looking in, you say, like, this is not healthy. I can't continue. When you think about what you want your life to be.
I hate to say it, but it was the realizing that it was like, I knew that, you know, stress, all that, you know, right? But when you see that physically it's having effect on you, like you start aging and gaining weight or losing weight or whatever it is,
yeah.
I think that's what woke me up because I didn't understand that, right? Mm-hmm. But I thought, wow, this is affecting everything in my life. Mm-hmm. And I also made a list of his good and his bad, mm-hmm. and there was no more good.
Because the
last thing I had hanging on was that he was a good father. You know, he loved them and he was a good father, but he wasn't capable of being a good father anymore. He wasn't capable of loving them, you know, the way they needed.
Andy's addiction. Okay. So that ended, you moved. At what point did you make it official in terms of divorce?
I remember that about 9 months it took me to go file.
Mm-hmm.
And I still had a hard time. I remember calling someone and crying and saying, I don't know if I can do this. And that person said to me, you know what you always say? You say, I just want to move forward. Yeah. She said, I would say, you know, I'm so tired of being in the same place. Okay. I just want to move forward. She said, so move forward. It won't be final for 6 months. If something happens in that 6 months, then you'll know, you know, if you're moving forward or backwards, you know, or if you're still, you know. And I remember that it was September. It was September 11th, because I remember him saying, really, you're going to file for divorce on 9/11. Like, he just took it as a sign of, this is, you know, destructive and I shouldn't do it and whatever. But the other side to it was that when we went back to finalize it, it was January 12th, which was my mom's birthday.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I knew that was an answer to my mom's prayer. You know, my poor mom had been through so much watching me suffer, right? And it's out of her control. There was nothing she could do, because you're not going to convince me anything.
Your mind was made up.
Right? You're not going to convince me anything until I'm ready, right? And my mom knew that about me. And so on her birthday is when it was final. But I could tell you, when I went to file, I cried. But when I went to sign for it to be over, I was never more relieved and ready in that short period of time, because I had lived that time without him, you know, really, because I wouldn't talk to him. I didn't take his calls, because I knew he was going to try to manipulate me back. And I felt like it, you know, even though I had my mind made up, I knew I couldn't talk to him. I couldn't hear him cry or say, I'm going to kill myself, or, you know, I couldn't let that guilt, you know, like, save me. Don't leave me, save me. Because he would say, I'm never going to make it without my family, you know. So I knew I had to stop talking to him. So when I had been that just little, what was that, 4 months? That little 4 month period of from filing, you know, to then, I had completely changed. Once I pulled myself out of that environment and stuck to it. And got clear minded. You know how when they say when you're too close to something, you just don't see it? Oh, that's 1,000% what happened.
Take yourself out of the equation.
I took myself out of it. I let him.
Right. So at this time, you know, you left. I just want to make sure as we come to a close, the reason you left, I don't want to make that it was obvious, but the reason you left was what?
The drugs.
The drugs. Had it just been... But, well, I would assume you would have left too if it was cheating.
Yeah.
You know, you deserve to be in a committed relationship without
a trusting
relationship.
The lies, you know, when you're an addict, there's so many lies. So to add the cheating as another form of lie, like, I just thought, wow.
Okay. Well, Kelly, you know, we have so much more to talk about.
I know.
So, you know, we have to do a part two. And I know your first marriage was the longest marriage. And so we won't get into how many more times until later.
Okay.
But I definitely want to do a part two, because we don't want to rush this. Because I really believe that a lot of people can relate to being in a relationship where they've been cheated on. And as we know, cheating is symptomatic of something else that's going on. It has nothing to do with the person who's being cheated on. Because some women will say, well, what did I do? What can I do differently? Can I do this? Maybe I should have left him this way. Maybe I should have did her this way. You know, whatever. Because men and women cheat. Women cheat as well.
Absolutely.
So I think it's important that we understand. And for your former husband, it sounds like he had a lot of unresolved childhood issues.
So much.
That... You know, it was like survival for him.
It was.
You know, he was trying to survive, not making it an excuse, but he was trying to survive.
No, he had, again, absent father, broken home. Everyone in his family was an alcoholic, but he was also suffering mentally too. And because nobody was recognizing it or getting him help, he was self-medicating.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's so much that pours into it. And he's just now also, you know, gotten into therapy. And that's why we've been able, like, we're both healing. So we're able to talk to each other, like, on a friend basis. Yeah. And, you know, it's been healing for us to say, wow, this is what was going on with me. And this is what was going on with you. And apologize.
Yeah. But I'm curious, Kelly, did he end up with the other lady?
No, he's on like his third rich lady. Oh yeah.
So he didn't go back to the other lady.
No.
He did. So when he came to you, he didn't go back to her. He said, oh, the lady that was in the rehab.
Yes. Yes, he did. I'm sorry. Oh, after us, did he go? Yes. They had a relationship. Yeah.
So he did go back to her when you ended it.
When I ended it.
He said, okay.
He said, oh, like, I'm going back.
Like, yeah. Get my supply of
just exactly.
emotional, mental healing.
Exactly.
To be in a relationship.
He did go back to her for a while. Back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's curious. I'm sure our listeners wanted to know that.
Sorry. Yeah. So they were addicts together. She was an alcoholic. He was a drug addict. And so they were very trauma bonded together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, they did for probably a few years, maybe. I can't remember, but. Mm-hmm. And I even made amends with her because that, I did because my children were, if they were going to be around her, I didn't want, anything because she resented me. She knew that the time I said come back, she knew.
She too met you one.
she said to me, every time you tell him to come back, he comes back. Mm. It was like she... And so it made her resent me. Yeah. So I wanted to make amends with her because I didn't want her to take anything out of my kids. And we were okay, when she was well, meaning not in her addiction. We were okay, you know.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
So you want to make amends with someone.
I
bless you. Bless your heart. I'm like, why do you need to make amends? But I see what you're saying. You want her to treat your kids
kind. I did. I just wanted her to be kind to my kids.
Okay.
And... unfortunately, I wasn't in a position to say he couldn't see them. So if they were in his care and he, got back into his addiction, because again, this is off and on all the time. I needed another responsible adult to say, hey.
But you thought she was responsible?
Well, she was. That's what I'm saying. When she wasn't in her addiction, it was hard.
It's the less of the two evil.
It was.
It really was. McKelly, we got to do a part two. So we'll be doing our part two, but we got to stop here.
Okay.
But I do appreciate you being here. So we'll have to schedule our part two.
Okay.
Thanks for joining today's episode. If you enjoyed the story time, don't forget to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and YouTube. Leave us a review and share with your friends to help us reach more listeners. Stay tuned for more insightful stories. Until next time. Take care and keep exploring new connections with us.